Last time we started to talk about encouragement, strengthening one another, and I'd like to continue on that vein to look at a different aspect of it. I talked about the need to encourage one another, how that's part of our purpose as a church, to strengthen one another, help one another to make it to heaven. This morning, there's an aspect of this I'd like to address, and that's the idea that our encouragement comes from God. We give encouragement to one another, but the encouragement that we give comes from God. And it comes from His Word, it comes from the faith that we have, from the hope that we develop, and from the love that we share. It has a time frame to look at. It has to do with remembering what God has done for us, remembering what God has promised us in the future, and shaping our behavior as far as what we're doing at the moment. All of those aspects are together, but all of it comes from God. And I'd like to look at this, and I hope by the time we finish, you'll see how it all fits together. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, Paul talks about a prayer, or actually writes down a prayer that he has for our brothers and sisters at Ephesus, and it's a prayer for us. It's a prayer for all time, really. It says in Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14 and continuing on, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." Notice, he's talking about the strength that comes from God's Spirit, that we be strengthened through God's Spirit in the inner man. And it's according to our faith. It's through our faith that Christ dwells in our hearts. It's through our realization of what Christ is for us and the love that He has for us that we develop this faith and grow in this love and have this strength. It isn't just a matter of having a cheerleading section in the church. It's a matter of us sharing our faith with each other. It's a matter of us understanding more and more and better who Jesus is and how He fits into our life. And so when we encourage one another, it isn't just a matter of being friends to each other, although that's a nice thing. It's a matter of encouraging one another in our faith and encouraging one another in our hope and encouraging one another in our love. And these things have God as their source and have Jesus as their source because He's the originator of those things. One of the things that we do is to encourage one another in our faith according to what God has done for us, to understand why we are here and to remember what we have in Christ. Let me read from Romans chapter 1 for a second. Paul is talking about wanting to visit Rome and sharing his faith with them and having them share their faith with him. And notice what he says here in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 11 and 12. "For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established." Well, that's the idea of being strengthened, right? "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you, while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." Paul saw his visit to Rome was not just an opportunity for him to teach, but it was also an opportunity for himself to be strengthened as they share their faith with each other. They mutually encourage one another in faith. And how do they do that? Well, part of it is remembering what Jesus did for us. Part of it is remembering where we were, where we came from, and what God did through our lives to bring us to where we are. And we become strengthened by that. Our faith builds because of that. We have answered prayers. We have forgiveness that we have received. We have a hope that we never had before. God does things in our lives, and we rejoice together in His having done those things. We rejoice together as we partake of the Lord's Supper and what God has done for us. I thought it was wonderful. And it was an act of providence on God's part, really. I was struggling as far as, what am I going to write to Jared and tell him about picking songs with this sermon? Because there's like these three different facets of this whole thing. What do I tell him? I don't know what to tell him. It's about encouragement. That's basically all I could tell him. And, well, guess what? He chose songs that had to deal with us singing to each other about what Jesus has done for us. Ta-da! Here it is. And that's what it is. And that's part of it. When the first century Christians got together, they encouraged one another in song. They encouraged one another in prayer. They talked about the Lord. They remembered what they had. They prayed for their struggles, but they remembered what God had done and how He had gotten them out of a jam before. That's the way they encouraged one another. And that's how we can encourage one another as well. It makes sense, doesn't it? You go all the way back to the time of the Israelites, and they got out of Egypt with all sorts of miracles, and they were sustained in the wilderness with all sorts of miracles, and they were about to go into the promised land. And the spies went out to spy out the land, and 10 out of the 12 spies said, "Yeah, it's a nice land, all right, but those guys are giants. We're not going to make it." And they discouraged the Israelites. You remember the story, right? You remember the account. But what did Joshua and Caleb do? Hey, it's exactly the way God described it. This promised land is really wonderful. Exactly the way God promised it. And guess what? You got to remember, yes, these guys are bigger than you, but our God is bigger than these guys. I'm paraphrasing very broadly. But essentially, that's what he was saying. And that's what they were saying and trying to get them to go on anyway. How did they try to buck up the faith of the Israelites? Remember what God did for you. Remember where you came from and where you are now. Who did that? When you remember what you were before Christ and remember now what you are now, who did that? God did, right? Now, we face giants in our life and we get scared and our knees shake sometimes. But we need to remember that God is bigger than our enemies. God is bigger than our problems. And we can help one another remember those things. And so by looking at the past, we can encourage our faith right here and now. And that's part of our encouraging one another. But there's more. Now I feel like one of those Popeil salesmen, you know. But there's more. There's more because we need to look at the future. One of the things that happens too is when the going gets rough, you start to think, well, is it really worth it? And you have tough times and you get worn down, whether it's by sickness or whether it's by finances or whether it's by persecution or other problems. And so here we are in this situation and life is a tight spot right now. And is it really worth going on? Yes, I know God did stuff in the past. But what we really need to understand, too, is the certainty of what He promised in the future. And that's called hope. It's a confident expectation of God's promises coming true. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We were singing that, right? We believe it. We need to remember it. You know, what were the Israelites doing when when they were out in the wilderness and some of them are going, oh, I'm sick of all this manna. We had fish and we had onions and leeks and all sorts of veggies and good stuff when we were back in Egypt. And now all we got is this manna stuff. How do you undo that kind of stuff besides send fiery snakes and lightning and stuff? Well, I mean, you can try to avoid all of that kind of stuff by doing what? Reminding the people that not too long ago you were really, really, really hungry and asking God for food that we didn't have. And what did God do? He gave you that food by miracle. And you are sustained by that food. Okay, you're getting bored with that food now, but where are you going? Is this going to last forever and ever? Oh, it seems like forever. It's just a couple months, maybe. But it isn't forever, is it? It's meant to get you through until you get where? To the promised land. And so you have to have that faith in what, based on what he did in the past. And you have to have that hope based on the promises that he made for the future. And it's the same way with us. We need to remember that, yes, life is tough. Yes, our diseases are painful. Yes, growing old is painful. Yes, taking care of kids is painful. Yes, all of the nasty things that a sinful world can throw at us hurts. But it's temporary. And we have a future that is glorious. And it is worth it. And so part of our getting through our lives, part of encouraging one another, is not just remembering what God did for us in the past through Christ, but it's also remembering the promises that he has given us in the future. And then there's a third thing. It's about, well, what about now? Well, in the past, we have a basis of faith. In the future, we have promises of hope. And in the present, we have the shape of love, essentially. And Paul talks about faith, hope, and love being the most important stuff, right? Well, it is. We have the past, present, and future. We have faith, hope, and love. And that's really where, you know, we ought to adjust our minds. What's happening today? What's happening in today's situation? And how do I deal with that? How do I know how to deal with that? Well, my faith gives me the power. My hope gives me the endurance, and my love shows me how I should act. Isn't that the way it works? I love because he first loved me. I love others using him as an example. I love others taking on his attitude, putting the other person first in my life. What are their best interests? Now, that's a complicated question. And I can't answer it. You know, if I started to answer that question for each and every one of us here, I'd probably die of old age before I finished. And we hadn't gotten through all of the, you know, the problems yet. So it's hard to say, but the principle is there, isn't it? You know, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. To put their interests above your own, to do what is best for their future, for their spirit, for their life. Take thought to the interests of others. That's a guiding principle. It's a rule of thumb. And as we see what love really is, we'll get better and better at it. We're not going to be perfect. But isn't that the challenge? You see, now if we just said, here are the rules, the way we behave today, we'd have trouble because, well, first of all, putting other people first doesn't come naturally. It takes faith, doesn't it? It takes understanding that Jesus loved us and that we are followers of his. It takes trust in God to give us the strength to do that because sometimes it hurts to love. And it takes hope because it's a struggle and the struggle keeps on coming. But we love anyway because we have the faith and the hope. And we see what that love is like when we look at Jesus. And so we encourage one another in our love when we see the love that we have for each other. We put the other person first. When we show consideration to the other person. When we show concern for one another. When we set aside our own rights so that others may benefit. And so we endeavor to practice these things. And when we get together, it isn't just getting together because we have stuff in common. It's a good thing, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's nice. I mean, you know, if a number of you like to, you know, a number of us like to fish and we get together on a fishing trip, that's great. If a number of us like to sew or stitch and they want to get together, that's good. That's good stuff. It's good stuff. I'm not saying that it's bad. It's an environment where we can share. But what I'm saying is we have something that's even more important that we share together that goes beyond personal interests. It goes beyond age differences. It goes beyond sex differences. It has to do with Jesus himself and our relationship to Jesus himself. I was in a when I was a new Christian, I was in a congregation that had a retired Navy man who had an anchor tattooed on one arm and a lady in hot pants tattooed on the other, and he was the preacher. We had a young girl who was like 18 or 19 who was pregnant out of wedlock all by herself, and we had an elderly lady who was the widow of a missionary, and we had a grad student from RPI. And what did any of us have in common? Not very much. But we had Jesus, which meant we had everything in common, right? It doesn't matter whether there's a singles class and a young marrieds class and a teen class and this thing and this thing and this thing. All of us have Christ in common. And that's eternal. All of us have Christ in common. And that's the most important thing in the world. And how can I relate to so-and-so? Well, if so-and-so has Jesus, we've got the whole ball of wax. And we have to remember that, you know? And when we get together, we can remind one another what we have in Christ. And we can share our joy in Christ. And we can share our struggles in Christ. And we can inspire one another to hang on. To remember that our God is bigger than the giants before us. And that our God is responsible for bringing us this far. And that he will carry us all the way. My encouragement to us all today is, yes, let's get more involved in each other's lives, but not just on a physical plane, but on a spiritual plane as well. If we went to a gardening club, we wouldn't be too surprised to hear people talk about plants and soil, right? Well, if we're members of the church and we get together for something or other, we ought not to be too surprised if we start talking about Jesus once in a while, huh? Why not? We oughtn't to be too surprised if we pray together. We oughtn't to be too surprised if we have words of comfort and words of hope and words of faith and accounts of what God is doing in our lives to one another. So that we might encourage one another day by day, as long as it's called today. And really, that's my challenge to all of us. I'm not saying I do it perfectly. I do not. But I think it's a focus that we ought to bear in mind so that we can help one another get to heaven. And that's one of our goals. If you have any prayer requests at all, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism or any other requests, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.